Well, this story is getting a huge amount of interest around the country. The head of the NAACP in Spokane, Rachel Dolezal, claimed that she was of African-American descent in job applications to the city and on social media. She even did an online video lecture on African-American hairstyles. But Rachel Dolezal's mom says she's white. Phyllis Fletcher is tracking the story with the Northwest News Network, and she's reported on the history of people trying to pass as a different race. She spoke to David Hyde about Rachel Dolezal's case and in Spokane, how it connects to the history of passing in the U.S.
Passing is when you either tacitly or overtly let other people think that you are race other than what you are. And the history of passing in the U.S. is mostly considered to be black people passing for white. And it's typically and historically done to evade injustice in one form or another.
In this case, the head of the Spokane NAACP does something different. She allegedly tries to pass going from white to black. How common is that?
I would say that for someone to do it on such a wide platform that integrates their professional life and their personal life, that I would say is pretty unusual because it is very easily taken apart, as we have seen. Part of what helped people pass in the past is the protection of people around them who wanted to see them succeed with that. Everyone who passed in history had people around them who knew and who didn't say anything. That is integral to passing. In this case, she had that only for a certain amount of time. It expired the moment her parents spoke to the press.
How about here in Seattle?
Yeah, so the case I'm most familiar with here in Seattle, Mishna Wolf, the author, writing about her father in her memoir, I'm Down. And she opens the book by saying, "I am white. My mother is white. My father is white. We are white, white, white." And she says that she wants to make it very clear because she said that you could not tell her father he wasn't black. He liked to wear black hairstyles. He liked to wear black style clothes. He liked to live in black neighborhoods and talk with a kind of black affectation. And all of his friends were black. And he tried to style her hair in cornrows and take her to the Baptist church and put her on all black basketball teams. And it was really something that he felt comfortable in that realm, and he strongly identified with it. And something that you see also happening, and this may have happened with him, is, you know, the more that people develop that type of identity, they might have friends who start to kind of playfully say to them, you know, "Oh, well, you got to be part black somewhere, right?" You know, and it kind of opens up this world of acceptance and people feeling like, "Oh, someone finally gets me. Maybe that is true." And it becomes something that people develop more affinity with over time. That's just one way it can manifest. But to a lot of people around him, I would say it wasn't objectionable because he was keeping it in his personal realm. There wasn't a specific public agenda he was trying to advance.
Yeah. So what's the difference between the kind of passing that we may be seeing in the Spokane NAACP case and the kind of performances of identity that you're talking about or stuff that people are pretty familiar with, say Mick Jagger or Seattle's own rap star Macklemore? What are the differences there?
Sure. Yeah. And for some people, there's no difference. Some people just say, you know, if you're white, be white. End of story. And other people say, well, if it's for entertainment, it's okay. Or if someone really seems to get the culture, it's okay. If I like it, it's okay. And, you know, where people start to have a problem with it is where it seems to be for a purpose of advancing some agenda that they feel is misrepresented or they're not entirely comfortable with, or they feel a sense of maybe sometimes self-aggrandizement going along with it, a deliberate changing of someone's personal narrative, a.k.a. Untruths or lies. Mm-hmm. Those are things that kind of tend to make people less comfortable with it, I think, regardless of anyone's race.
And another twist in this case, I don't think we know fully yet exactly what's happened here, but members of the NAACP in Spokane suspecting that she might actually be white, but not saying anything and coming out saying that they stand behind her advocacy record. What do you think's going on here?
Well, I think probably a lot of conversations are going on here. I just got an update from my reporter in Spokane, our own Jessica Robinson, and she just learned that the NAACP Spokane chapter will have a meeting Monday night. and that this is where they expect to get some sort of explanation. And so officially they're withholding judgment until then as a body, as an entity. But within any group, you're going to have people who have different levels of knowledge, different suspicions. And there probably were people who suspected that something wasn't quite how she was representing it. Part of what you go through as a black person in a smaller town or any city with a smaller black population, there's this kind of social vetting that goes on of like, who are your people? You know, how did you come to move here? Who's your dad? Who's your mom? You know, what are you mixed with? You know, you hear a lot of those types of questions. And if people feel like they're not getting a complete answer, that suspicion might ring stronger as time goes on. And so there may have been people who had those conversations and just said, not sure something's quite right here. But absolutely, those types of conversations go on, and it's just part of the social vetting of welcoming a new person into your community.
Phyllis Fletcher, editor for the Northwest News Network, here speaking with David Hyde.